today, okay, it's May 28th, 2019, Tuesday night.
Yes. Away we go. Did you guys meet last night? I mean, Sunday night?
I was not here.
Yeah, I wasn't here.
Was there a meeting on Sunday night?
Just Corky and me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, maybe we can start things out with prayer.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yes, Lord. We ask for your blessing in our time together, O Lord, that again we would, it would be your truth that we are in touch with. That is such a sweet thing when you make your truth available to us. So, Lord, we ask for that, Lord. And, Lord, that your truth would be developed among us. That one would add one thing, one would add another, and that all together it's a greater thing than what we ever would have come up with individually. It is so sweet when that work is done. So, Lord, we ask that happen tonight, oh Lord, that you would shine your light among each of us, and that we would each be making that kind of contribution here by your Spirit, Lord. Do that good work. Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
I don't know which night, but one of the nights I had an experience, kind of. And I can't say that I heard a voice because I didn't. But if you can have a strong mental impression, that's what it was. And it was kind of, I could hear the word of the Lord saying, "You have to let me do it my way." You know? And we don't know exactly what His way is, but if we just leave Him alone, it'll work out. He'll do it His way. And I've come into Christianity a little different than most people that I know. And when I came in, it was power, 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 power. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and we began to see people healed, and I saw signs and wonders and miracles. And so did Joanne. And we prayed for a lot of people that were miraculously healed. Jerome's wife's dad was healed of gangrene. And anyway, I kind of forget about some of those things, but that's our background. And so Joanne and I have, you know, we're poor as church mice, you know, most of our years. And so we trusted the Lord, and the Bible says they that put their trust in the Lord will never be ashamed. Well, I was kind of concerned about what people might think about, you know, with Joanne. But, you know, Joanne's, that's who she was. She wanted to trust the Lord, and so she did. Well, anyway, I began to realize that I'm not an anti-hospital or anti-doctor person. I never have been. But I'm not the first one to be there. You know? And anyway, I have a scripture setting. It's found in the 14th chapter, the whole 14th chapter of Romans. And if you want to take a look at it, and anyway, verses 1 and 2 especially, it says, "Him that is weak in the faith." Well, isn't faith faith?
Maybe not.
If you have faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed, well, that's kind of small, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so, him that is weak in the faith, receive, but not for doubtful disputations. What does that word mean, Charlie?
Well, it's arguing kind of
foolish arguments.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it says, but not to disputes over doubtful things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In the New Kingdom.
So we got into a little bit of a thing over Dale's, over this, with Dale being healed. And I thought, you know, Candy and Pablo or me or anybody else, if I broke an arm, what am I going to do? Dangle it around and walk with it in a broken state? Or am I going to go and have it set? What are you going to do?
Well, first you're going to pray. Then
yeah. Then what?
Wait and see.
But
for about an hour.
Well, would Brittany landed on Caden's...
That's what I was thinking of. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't have a chance. I didn't even hardly pray.
I know.
And the thing was, it was healed. Well, I've seen a lot of those things, but that was the most profound thing I've ever seen. And so you accept those things. And you see it as such. And I haven't seen a lot of things otherwise. I've probably seen 1,000 deliverances. I haven't been involved in that many, but I've seen that many. And you guys have seen a lot of them yourself. And so, in verse 2 it says, for one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs. It sounds to me like that's kind of the opposite of the one who is strong eats the herbs. You know? But let not him that eats despise him that eats not, and let not him which eats not judge him that eats or eateth, for God hath received him. So God is, he's a God of the weak faith, he's a God of the strong faith. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Faith is not as much of an issue to God as it is to us. And so, who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. He shall be holden upward for God to be is able to make him stand. One man deceived one day above another. Another received every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Well, anyway, I began to see the scripture standpoint. And I thought, you know what? If Jean has to go in because her eyes need doctor's care, that's what she does. That's what you do. That is not in opposition to God. You know, if Barb had to go in for an operation, that's what you do.
Yeah.
And so, and God blesses it, and God heals them, and God works with it. And what we have done, it's easy to build a faith thought pattern in us. And if anybody, it'd be easy to have it, it would be me. Because I have seen so many things. At the same time, God let me know really for sure, a few nights ago in prayer, that he don't judge or don't decide how he's going to do things. He's going to do it his way, and we have to let him. Let him do the deciding. You know what I mean? And so, anyway, this whole chapter, I mean, I can read the whole chapter, but the whole chapter is a profound chapter. And what it does, it puts us in submission to God and to his plan and to his ways rather than into our own thought patterns. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord that there is nothing unclean of itself, But to him that conceived one thing to be unclean, to him it is unclean. You know, this, it takes a little bit of swallowing here to pick this up. If any, if my brother be grieved with the with your meat that you eat, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it's a principle.
Yeah.
It's just a principle. And so, we don't want to be found guilty of judging the decision that somebody else is making. You know what I mean? And I don't want to be found, you know, I want to trust the Lord with everything that I can. I don't want anybody to judge me for that. Trust in the Lord with all your might. And, you know, trust the Lord and you'll never be ashamed, it says. Let's see. They that trust the Lord will never be ashamed. How does it say that? They that put their trust in the Lord will never be ashamed?
Yeah, I think that's certainly the idea.
Yeah,
and I'm very close to those yeah. words.
And so... But the thing, I think, it's easy to trust or to judge somebody for to doing something and the doctor or with the doctors or the hospitals, whatever. But I think one of the bigger areas of judgment is to judge somebody that wants to trust the Lord. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like Duran.
Yeah.
But you know what? That wasn't just a simple, that wasn't such a simple thing as people have kind of thought it to be. Because we went through a lot of things that led up to where we were. You know what I mean? There's a lot of background to it. She was told to be on the blood thinner. And she refused it, and which made the doctor upset. And then we switched from
Marshfield to Mayo.
Marshfield to Mayo, yeah. Mm-hmm. And when we got there, because she had thin veins in her head, just like this one of the musicians that Karen heard, you know, the bean lady that she was telling us about. Because Joanne had such thin blood veins that if she would have been on a blood thinner, she would have died 5 or 6 years ago. And but you know what? Nobody would have blamed anybody because it happens in the hospital.
Yeah.
But when she decides to make the decision, say, no, I don't want it. Now people would, it's easy to judge a decision like that. You know what I'm saying?
I do, yeah.
And it's, I was concerned that one, the morning, that one service, I was concerned that for Dale's sake. Because Dale came and we prayed for him, and it was a good experience, you know what I mean? And Dale was, he felt that you know, God was doing something and so forth. And I think he was a little bit let down because something miraculous didn't happen when we prayed for him. At the same time, something miraculous did happen, but it happened through the hospital. Mm-hmm. And millions of dollars later, not millions, but lots of money later. And, so Dale is really, he's really excited. He's happy about it. And it was a good thing. But it could not appear to be. Okay?
Yeah. The whole situation's kind of complicated. I think when Ken raised the issue, it wasn't, it was a matter of discerning the time that we are in right now.
Yeah.
I think it related to that more than each individual. And if he believed that there was a failure to discern the hour, then that is a legitimate issue to raise.
And he's probably right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, you know, Gorky was kind of a little bit affected by that service, and but he made a statement. And I think Glenn came over and talked to me too. And I think that both of them made the similar statement. And Glenn or Gorky said, "Well, you know," he said, "Well, maybe I'm just not there yet." And it was something like that Glenn said. It's like, "Well, maybe there's more here than I see." Well, you know what? There's a lot more than any of us see. Mm-hmm. And but what we want to do is not be, it's kind of like, I don't want to be, have us destroyed or what's that word that we used? Have a disputation over something that's really not, it's not worth being having an argument over.
Mm-hmm.
Did you follow me?
I follow you. I don't, again, I think the issue related to the hour that this church is in, you know, that was,
yeah.
But yeah, I follow you.
Yeah.
So, we'll just say, you know, I haven't thought much about it since.
No. Okay. Well,
no, I haven't either since I talked to Keith. And
I mean, I read a few things, and you know, it comes down to where each person is. So you got to kind of set the parameter if you're going to pray about certain things, possibly. Man, maybe. Well, I guess I did say something. I think, but why I felt the way I did is because of what Keith had shared, and then all of a sudden Dale shares what Ben had happened, and it just seemed like it was coming together for something.
But what I saw, that thing that I had, I did not see God heal Dale. I didn't see a healing take place. I saw God working on Dale all night long.
I thought he was working on you all night long.
He was working on me all night long. but he was doing something. But I never saw, it's not like I saw supernatural healing, because I didn't. But you know what? The doctor was dumbfounded. It took him, instead of 4 hours with super complications, it took him an hour and 45 minutes with he couldn't believe it happened. He couldn't believe it was that easy.
So the thing is to build on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be a step.
Yeah.
In faith.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So your prayer, that's what you're asking for. And be patient. Wait on God to do what he's going to do when he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Not expect it to be just because we prayed right now for it, to get it right now.
You know, in Matthew, I come across this after that, but I, you know, it's not that I was trying to find something to back up what I was just trying to figure out what faith is, and do you want to believe or not or whatever, you know. So, I mean, of course, I'm not at this place for sure. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be moved and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So my only thing now is, do we want to get there?
Well, you know what? Let me give you my outlook. It's coming.
Okay.
It's coming. I got another scripture setting. I'm waiting on it. I've been waiting all night for it, but I got a whole other scripture setting. And when I saw it, I thought, oh my God. It's some things get so obvious and the scriptures are so plain and we just don't really see them, you know. But I have misused, I quoted that scripture with the wrong thing, the other one. I won't get to it yet because that's, otherwise we'll change it, we'll be on that one. But faith is a growth. You grow from, you change from faith to faith. You grow, and the way you grow into faith is through the Word of God. Without the Word, you can't grow into faith because it won't work. Then you can develop faith in men, and the Word of God will develop faith in God.
Mm.
And at some point, you know, William Branham, and I don't know much about him. I'm familiar a little bit with him, but he prayed for people. He saw unbelievable things happen, and Simon was with him sometimes. And I don't think they were buddies or something, but he was, you know, he followed him. And he had held a crusade in Portland, Oregon. And there were thousands of people that came out of wheelchairs and dropped their crutches. And the city of Portland supplied some dump trucks to haul away the things that were left behind. Was that real? Huh? Oral Roberts had crusades and lots of people were healed. Jerome McGinnis, you know. And it would seem to me that, you know, he's in a different category, but Jerome saw unbelievable things happen. And so it's available, it's a possibility, it's a probability, it's a for sure thing, if the conditions are right and we're in God. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you know, that's the scripture. Well, is that true? Of course it's true. Just like the one about the faith that will move the mountain. Is that true? Of course it's true. The thing is, we haven't attained to that yet. But there's a lot of change that's taken place in us. You know, I'm changed. I'm totally different than I ever, you know, than I was. And I have a different future hope. I'm anxiously waiting for the switch over to the next life. I'm waiting for it. I'm anxious for it. And which kind of does something to your concern about things here, you know. But anyway. What else?
What I know about doctoring is that, it can seem so second best and inadequate, that, you know, it happens over and over again. It's quite a way short of perfect. I remember there was one time when my daughter, Anna, was just a little girl, 2 or 3 years old, I don't know, and she had a high fever and was delirious, and this thing was urgent, you know, felt urgent, and I prayed for her urgently, and bang, the thing broke. She was her inner right, just bang, you know, now fevers break, but it just seemed as though the Lord just did, you know, there was some, you know, it just, you know, not, and your story with Caden there, the Lord,
yeah.
You know, the Lord does that.
I did not expect that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't faith on my part.
Uh-huh.
But I have seen other things like that.
Yeah.
And I know it takes God to do it, and Mm-hmm. And, you know, when God, if he wants a lot of that going on, he'll really dump something, you know. But in between there, I mean, I think we're beginning to build the faith that the more we listen to the word and abide in it, we should be looking to expect things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And maybe it's just a little thing. So maybe the thing where we were at was that it went like it did in the hospital, you know, with Dale. Maybe we weren't ready for the other, you know. But don't stop thinking that it can't happen.
Right.
You know, it's so easy to get really dependent because if you have insurance, it gets really easy to just go use a doctor all the time. Well, you know.
Right. That's right.
When you don't have money and you can't pay for it, guess what? Your faith is a lot bigger. I mean, I know because when we first moved here, we were broke and no insurance. And I was trusting in the Lord, and so was Pam. And for some reason, our kids never got sick.
Mm-hmm. For all the years we had our boys,
yeah,
they never got sick either.
I know. Mm-hmm. Then when I just started working, got insurance. Gee, we went to the doctor more often.
Well, why not?
That's the way it is.
But that's, you know, so I'm not, you know, I'm as
I had a
bad as anybody else.
I had insurance at that point. A job in Seattle, and Brian fell out of a tree and broke his arm. And that's one of the few things ever that we ever had to go take him to a doctor, you know. And Brian, being who he was, he broke his arm, and before it was ever fixed or anything, he caught a rabbit, a wild rabbit. And we used to laugh about it. Broken arm and all, he caught the rabbit.
Whoa. Mm.
But,
I remember Judy Holmes talking about, God bless Judy Holmes, but she talked about all the thousands of dollars that the Lord had saved for medical bills. Thousands and thousands of dollars. Medical bills from,
and you know what? That's true.
That probably is, right?
You know how much have we not had to pay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not anti-doctor or anti-hospital. I have had some crazy things, and so had Joanne. And so what it did, it didn't put me to the place of trust in all of them. The best doctor of any of them that I've ever had in the last number of years is Shepik from the Marshfield. You know who he is?
I can't remember you talking about him.
Yeah, oh, Dr. Shepik.
Yeah.
And if I would have listened to him real carefully, I never would have taken warfare. He was doing everything he could to talk me out of it, and I was too dumb to know it. He told me, he says, this is the most dangerous medication that we prescribe. It has serious after effects, and you know what? I thought, yeah, but if everybody's doing it, it can't be that bad. Well, anyway, so I learned.
Mm.
And I've never talked to him since I quit taking it. Of course, I switched over to Mayo, you know, after that, so. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let me get back to where I've been all day.
Did you have something you were going to add, Glenn?
No, go ahead. Well, I was, but I don't know. I was just thinking that, you know, we probably don't have enough faith in our prayers when we pray for somebody. You know, I mean, we might say, like we pray for Chuck and say, okay, and ask the Lord to heal him, but how strong is our faith in that prayer?
Right.
You know? I mean, I'm just saying, and sometimes I don't feel like I've got enough faith when I pray for somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, myself. There's times when I kind of don't pray because I'd probably be more negative than positive.
Well, I will confess that sometimes my prayer is more like good form. This is the thing to do, so I'll, you know.
Mm-hmm.
there's that, and then, hey, you need to be faithful to prayer. You know, hey, this is the thing that, you know, there's an element of that, too. So, but no, as far as a real expectation that it is going to occur, that, you know, that's a different deal.
Well, if you're going to go pray for somebody expecting them to be healed, you're going up for the wrong reason. And, you know, you're going up there to pray and ask God to do it.
Yeah, right.
You know, not expecting, because you're praying for this person that
yeah.
they're
going
to
be healed,
because you're the one praying for them. No. You know.
That is true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I that scripture in Timothy where Paul says, and don't hastily lay hands on someone.
Yeah.
What does that really mean?
You know? I think it relates to making him a church elder, but maybe there's more to it.
Oh, is that kind of in that close?
I believe.
That close in context to when he was talking about elders?
I believe that is the meaning there, but
okay.
I've heard that. Now, whether or not...
I'll have to read that again, because, that's possible. Uh-huh. That's possible. Okay.
I don't know if there is anything in the Bible suggesting, hey, if you're not feeling much in the way of faith, best not. I don't know. Are you familiar with anything like that, Keith? But
no, it could be.
Yeah, they could be.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of places that I'm familiar with where we are told that and we're going to change from faith to faith to faith to faith. And the thing is, it's like, well, does that happen automatically, spiritually, somehow by God without our involvement, or does it have something to do with us? We're changed from faith to faith. And
then does it have to be everyone, or is it, you know what I mean?
And then it says, it also says, and I think in Romans it says that, and there are, do all have the gift of faith? What are we talking about?
Yeah. There's different aspects of faith that are given.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
what kind of faith would you have to move that mountain?
Yeah.
Well, I have no idea at this point.
When you're talking about different kinds of different levels.
You're right.
Of faith.
I know.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me. For one, why would you want to move a mountain? But
could be a good reason. But
actually moving a mountain or just giving the experience of what faith can do.
I suppose it's right. I think he's conveying the idea that hey, this is.
If you have the faith that God put there and He backs it up, well, obviously God can do anything. So.
I tell you, one thing I find interesting, often in our discussions, we come to some kind of resolution. You know, like the Sabbath rest. Some other issues. We talk it through, and I'm not discerning any resolution of this issue.
Not yet, anyway.
No, right. Well, it's not yet. Right.
Maybe there isn't.
Yeah. Well, or it's not for us. Yeah, you know, but I get it now. There's nothing like that going on on this one. There still remains that issue here.
I think I got checked a little as if someone's faith is building, geez, don't let me slow it down
right.
by thinking, you know, wait a minute, that's. You know, I don't want to talk them out of their faith.
Right.
So that's probably the one thing we got to be a little aware of.
You wouldn't want to put some natural brakes on a spiritual.
But like we were discussing that one Sunday night. But at the same time, if you have faith in certain things, don't assume it's for everybody else either. You know.
No.
Right.
If you have it, great. Then you have the faith and you do what you have to do with that faith. But don't kind of say, but this is what you guys need too. You can't really say
that's good.
Pick Charlie or whatever faith he wants him to have, Ken, whatever faith he wants you to have. He's going to determine which ones he wants for each one of us. I mean, yeah, we can sit there and say, God, can I have the gift of healing? Well, that's not God's plan. You know, even though we ask for it, I don't know what God's got in store for me.
What Keith brought was interesting about is having very definitely the impression, hey, let God do it God's way. Let God do it God's way.
Yeah.
That,
well, I was kind of, reprimanded, or it was kind of like, I've had some goofy thought patterns myself that were not right, And it's like, it's almost like I hear the Lord, the God saying, just let me do it my way. And Jerome was healed many, many times.
Yeah.
Miracles. Heart problems. Cancer. He had cancer 3 or 4 times that he was healed from. And we get the call, pray for Jerome, he's got cancer. Pray for Jerome, he's had a heart attack. Pray for Jerome, And after a while, it's like, could I just put one prayer and take care of all of them? And until the doctor finally said, Jerome, the only way you're going to die is if somebody kills you. And so he'd be in the hospital, and next thing you know, he's out of the hospital and he's totally healed. How many times did he go through that? And it's like, I'm not really understanding that. I don't understand what happened. He didn't avoid the hospitals. As a matter of fact, a lot of times he ended up there without him even realizing that that's where he was going. He had the car fall on him and crush his ribs. And
ordinarily, that's a fatal accident.
Yeah. And Joanne, his wife Joanne, ran out there and with one hand picked the car up and pulled him out. You can't do that. It's impossible. But it wasn't his time. And he went to church and he could feel his ribs grinding. And he went to church, he started to pray for the sick. And all of a sudden he felt this thing in his chest and they went back together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so how many things did that guy experience, So it's not, we're supposed to pray for the gifts. And the one of them that in 1 Corinthians 14, the first verse.
Seek earnestly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so by seeking, does that mean you prayed for him, or what are you doing?
I guess.
If you're seeking, you're praying, And you're wanting them. I know it's in here.
And desire spiritual gifts, I guess. Follow up, Charlie. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Desire.
What do I hear?
That's
desire.
Your phone is turned down, but it's doing something. I think you're getting calls. It's like before we had, and everybody got to you later. It wasn't unless it's an emergency. But you got to put that where you can reach a little easier.
Oh, my brother Joe. Hello. Hello. Yeah, we're having a Bible study at the moment until for about another half hour or so.
I just don't matter.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, sounds good. Yep. Goodbye. Joan is girlfriend leaving the room.
Now, I don't know if you just set that off with your foot or not. I don't know. Is there supposed to be something showing on the screen? I'm talking, and all you people out there, forgive us. I don't know if it's still recording or not.
You're big. Well, if you hit the record button, I don't know if it would be any big problem.
Record. Well, okay.
Okay. You were mentioning, Ken, that's interesting, about desiring spiritual gifts.
That
Does that mean praying for them?
That kind of puts that on us, doesn't it? I mean, it's saying if you desire.
Uh-huh.
It didn't say pray that the Lord gives you, I mean, kind of in that particular verse.
Yes.
It's saying, if you should desire, and if you desire,
mm-hmm.
hopefully he would honor
that,
right?
It's not like it's a roulette wheel or a lens. You should.
Yeah.
Not merely seeking, but wanting.
Yeah, very. Doesn't mean that it might come right away or not. But
it might not, fact, but that's right.
Yeah, follow after love.
Uh-huh.
Let love be the goal.
Right.
And then desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy, which we're beginning to understand is not anything like we understood before. He that prophesies speaks unto the church for edification, exhortation, and comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that as a definition of a prophecy. So don't believe every spirit. Try the spirits, spiritual discernments, and to see whether they're from God or not. Because some of them aren't. As a matter of fact, lots of them aren't.
So did we ever get to that area you were talking about?
No, not yet.
Okay.
No, I will show you.
Oh, I'm looking at this parallel translation. And it's all desire.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept.
Yeah. And we do. After a while you do. You desire them. You want them. Especially prophecy. But not necessarily limited to it. As a matter of fact, wasn't Paul just about any one of them?
Yeah, and in that whole setting of that chapter, it's speaking about the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And so to have the fulfillment of the body of Christ, all those gifts should be operating eventually, and they'll be operating in different people, or all of them could operate in one person, but you need, and every part of the body should have something that would help edify us. Whatever that might be that the Lord gives.
It uses the analogy of the human body, the nose and the ear and the...
Can't do without it,
All have separate functions, right? But which isn't to say that there can't be some interchange,
Sure. Yeah, it can overlap and everything else.
Sure.
But that they're there.
Yeah.
In the last book of the New Testament, and not in Revelation, but in Jude, it says, I don't know where to start.
I read Jude here the other day, and I was kind of affected by that.
He's talking about actually people who claim to be Christians and aren't. He's talking just about the whole book is about the people who claim to be something that are not, and they are not. It says, but in verse 10, But these speak evil of those things which they know not of. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. See, the church, for the most part, only knows natural. They don't know spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Woe unto them. This is verse 11. For they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kori. Balaam was a false prophet. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees with fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea. I mean, I don't want to be any of those things.
No, I know. It's
foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever, and Enoch also. Now, how do they know this? The seventh from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. Is there any place that says that?
I don't believe so. At least nothing that we would treat as being the canon now.
To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their, you know what? That's us. Walking after their own lusts, their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Are you following it as we're reading it?
Yeah.
But you beloved,
Book of Jude,
verse
16, Jesus.
And verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. And this is where I'm going to start. Okay, how many times have I quoted this script in verse 19? These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. You know what? I don't think that I've had that right yet. I don't think we're talking about people who separate themselves from each other. I think it's talking about people who separate themselves from God because they go by sensual things, having not the Spirit. And I'll tell you why. Verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How are you going to do that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Are you following what I'm reading here? You, beloved, build up yourselves in your most holy faith. But my faith is right on top. Mine is the greatest ever. There's no faith greater than my faith. Oh, really? Have you moved any mountains lately? And then, verse 21. Beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. How do you do that? Looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Those verses have gone over and over and over in my head. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's what, that's all one thought pattern there. And I'm thinking that verse 29, keep yourselves in the love of God, is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know, we think of the mercy of God, but also the, you know, the mercy of the Son of God. And I'm glad for God, the way God did it. You know, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The distance between us and God is so unbelievable. It is so far. We have no chance of any real communion with Him. So He supplied one that can have a different kind of compassion, who can relate to our, you know, who has been tempted at all points as we are, as we have been or are, who can have compassion and mercy on us because He understands. No, it isn't because He understands. God understands, of course, but He's given His Son so that we get to Him through the Son. Not through Mary. You know what I'm saying? As I started seeing this lately, I have had such a newfound thankfulness to God for Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful. See, that was God's plan. That's God's design. And you got to let Him do it His way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. Just like the thing with Dale's healing or anything else. Let God do it God's way. If God's going to do it some other way, it would have happened prior. As we prayed, God would have done it another way. Let God, and that's the thing. I was kind of reprimanded. Just like, just kind of let me do it my way, would you please? You know, it wasn't real comfortable the other morning.
Was it in relation to anything in particular?
No, but it's like, it could have been that. I'm not even saying it related to Dale. I'm just saying it was like, I realized that I'm trying to figure out the way for God to do it. Lord, here's what you got to do. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you should do. Who has known the mind of the Lord that He can instruct him? In that case, I think we're talking about God. It says, but we have the mind of Christ. And that's what will develop in us from the Word.
Yeah. He has to do it His way. Our job, I suppose, is to conform as best we can, or to line up our own thing with His way.
My way has not been right. His way is always right. That's, you know, that's not the way I thought it should be done. You know, I mean, I'm guilty of that too.
Mm.
And it's like I could just, it was kind of a gentle rebuke, but it was he knows how to do these things so that we get the picture. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be found in opposition. I want to be like Jesus. And when He said, Lord, if there's some other way. And He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. I want to be there. That's who I want to be. You know, nevertheless.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, it would have been really nice if you had done it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so then what's he do? I'm sitting here and I got a little screaming fella holding him and he's... I can move his foot any old angle I want to move, and I'm panicky. No faith in me whatsoever. Wouldn't they sit in the, over in the chair cram and try to get the doctor on the phone? And Joanne's sitting over where Ken is, and this is long, years before she got sick, you know. And anyway, she's sitting there looking at me, and I'm holding him, and I'm just getting ready to pray, and I put my hand down, and his foot straightens up. I've never seen anything like that ever. And he'd go run down the floor and he'd plan. Explain that to me. Brittany and Joanne and me, we sat here and we cried. We just sat quiet. He don't even know. You know, he's forgotten all about it.
I'm really honestly sitting here and thinking that over, that whole situation. Because well, it's possible it could have, that both things could possibly somewhat be in the will of God. You know.
No, quite. Go ahead and explain.
Well, because when I was kind of discerning what I thought I was discerning, I wasn't necessarily focused on the actual healing. It was just the act of praying with some kind of faith. You know, and not, because otherwise, if I had really, I was, well, okay, we got to pray with faith, and Dale, you don't leave till you're healed or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, that, none of that was there, you know, so, because I'm just, but, you know, it's, who knows.
Be careful how I say this, but because of Dale's, what he has been through for 40 years, and he's been prayed for many, many, many times, and he couldn't find any doctors that would even attempt it. And then this fellow says, "We can do it. You know, we can do it." And it gave Dale some hope in an operation, and they did a beautiful job on it. And the doctor was amazed that it was that simple. And I'm saying, and Dale is looking at me, he says it was a miracle.
Yeah, see, the thing, it's kind of like, for me, that's a whole different scenario.
I know.
That seems like it's separate from what I felt, saw, or whatever. You know, I don't want to take any of that away from Dale. You know, and I know exactly where he would be. If I'd been walking around like that for 40 years, you better believe I'd have hope of a doctor said he
could make
it well. You know, it had nothing. It was just like, and maybe it was just for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know?
Well, I guess I do believe that the raising the issue is of the Lord. I believe that the discussion that we've had over these several times is of the Lord. I also believe, as I said before, we aren't resolving it.
Now, interestingly, wasn't it not this last Sunday, but the Sunday before, that you said, I need you to pray because I'm going to go have something checked.
Sure.
And I said, okay, shall we all be in agreement that we pray for that? Yeah. And we did. And you did, and it wasn't negative, you know.
Right.
I don't know if that had something to do with it or not. But, you know, and sometimes, and I know for me too, I can pray for little things like that and have a lot more faith than to pray for somebody walking that hasn't walked for 10 years or what,
sure.
You know.
Sure.
So, you know, talking about degrees of faith, I mean, And, you know, and like right now, my PSA is up. But I'm not going to start trying to figure out some way to have it removed or whatever. I'm going to wait 6 months because he said it could go down, and I'm going to pray and believe that it's going to go down, you know.
Yeah.
Not in my own mind. I'm going to be calling on the Lord, you know.
Healing is the children's bread, and we need to eat that bread. We need to eat that bread. We need to have that be part of the deal. Part of the deal of what we're... while recognizing that our body here isn't the issue.
Yeah.
It's eternity in heaven that's the issue.
Right.
So, you know. But it is... God is one who heals. And when we seek His healing, we are asking for God to manifest what He is.
Yeah.
Something.
Right.
You know?
See what this word, you know, listening to this word, what it's starting to kind of develop very smallly is think of God first.
Yeah.
You know? Don't just automatically.
Right.
You might end up doing that anyway, but at least start. It's starting to work in me to want to call on the Lord, you know.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, some of that's it takes time. And,
yeah.
You know.
I know how the verse goes, and they that put their trust in the Lord shall never be ashamed.
Yeah.
That's the way it said that.
You know, a good example is that verse that you got very excited about. That you had all those things made up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really wasn't excited. But you were. Because what God must have put something in you, handed them out, and it's had a profound effect. But I didn't feel like I had to start handing them out, necessarily.
Right.
Or everybody in the body should start handing them out.
Mm-hmm.
That's something where God took you and did something with you.
Yeah.
With it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of personal between him and God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That verse.
I mean, it means more now to me than it did when you first brought it up.
That verse is a... totally destroys this unity through diversity. Any mentality like that.
Right.
It destroys it. There isn't such a thing in the Bible. You know what I mean? You can only have unity one way. And that's the truth. You can't have it any other way.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why it says speaking the truth in love in Ephesians, you know,
yeah.
May grow up into Him. And one of the things you're going to grow up into is truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to grow up in truth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that's starting to really get written in my heart is
there's
nothing more than truth.
Uh-huh.
You have to have it for eternal life.
That is a large element of what we're doing. And it, I think it's great that it's going hand in hand with the Word.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the only place God has truth.
But
where is His truth? Well, He said it's in my Word.
But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The only way you can grow up into Him is through speaking the truth in love. You know what I mean?
You know, there is an element to that. I think I just realized. I think God has put a certain element of love in us that even though we can't always speak the truth to one another, He's put to where we don't offend or we're willing to listen to whosoever. You know?
Uh-huh.
That's got to be an element of love. You know, that we don't get in big arguments, and you know, and we're not clashing.
And there can be some differences, but
sure. Mm-hmm. But in love, You wait and work itself out.
I want eternal life so bad that it's pretty hard to offend me. You know what I mean?
Unless you're an eye doctor or whatever. No, I'm kidding. I got things that still offend me. That's the problem.
No, you know, I wasn't offended by it, but I wish the guy would have just listened to the common sense, but he wouldn't.
Yeah. And you know what? See, isn't that something? I mean, now that you could have really let that work on you.
It never did.
I mean, you could have got bitter, you know. You know, right, though? I mean, that's the kind of things that, you know.
What occasion do you think referring to?
Oh, the guy that wouldn't admit that he had the lens.
Right.
Yeah.
What happened? The lens got reversed in the first place. But he don't believe that.
Yeah.
So when I said I want the lenses the other way, he says, "Okay, we'll turn them around." So he did. So the second pair, he took the right prescription and had him turn them in reverse. He made the mistake the first time. Now the second time, he's making the mistake. And I couldn't get him to understand. You see, he was convinced that it was my eyes and not his prescription. Well, you want to turn around? We'll turn around. He was kind of a little bit nasty about it.
I tell you, people that are put too big a stock in their own being an expert.
Yep.
That's bad. Well, anyway.
I knew he had the right prescriptions. He just had they made him backwards. That wasn't his fault to start with. But he could not fathom the idea that they might have made a mistake. All I had to do was turn him around and I could see perfect.
You know, I was just reading that again about in Jude about sensual people.
Yeah.
These are sensual persons who cause divisions. So, yeah, they're not in tune with God, and because they're not, then they start causing divisions within the body of Christ because they don't have the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fix is to pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Building yourselves up in your most holy faith.
Yeah, praying in the
Holy Spirit. But faith comes by hearing the Word of God.
Yeah.
So these are all connected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said a while back, I'll say it again, the best thing that we can do is to pray in tongues.
Yeah.
That's the best thing.
That's a good one.
Best thing that we can do is pray in tongues. You know, you were talking earlier, Keith, about we pray to Jesus, and not Mary. You know, you're being a little funny. But I realized a little light went off in connection with that. That when you make Jesus a God, you need a human mediator.
Yeah.
And the Catholics have groped for one and latched on to Mary.
Yeah, and that's right.
You know? If they had just recognized that Jesus is a man, forget Mary.
Yeah.
You know? But you need a human mediator.
You do.
Yeah,
you do.
Now, it's just amazing. Like, Jude, I'm sorry to say, really applies to Catholicism.
Yeah.
Because there's generations upon generations, or years, or whatever you want to say, decades upon decades, or centuries upon centuries of man thinking.
Yeah.
Man intelligence that's developed that religion. They've got so many things that, I mean...
One pile left,
it's, oh my God, people are burying it. They don't even,
I mean, they're so buried in it, they can't even see that they could actually read the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And believe it for themselves. I mean, they're just like, it's just, it's, all their faith is based on all the things that you go do that the priest said you need to do. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, they make trips, and because I know some, they're part of the family, and they just devout, but misinformed.
Yeah. So I come in.
You don't know about it either.
Not much.
No.
No.
Pray for them.
That's a sad thing.
Yeah.
Pray for them.
Yeah.
But they, yeah, they're set in that thing.
Unless God opens the door. You know?
Yeah. The Holy Spirit can. And certainly there are Catholics who have moved on to the better thing.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But. No, it's not our words that are going to do it.
No. No, it's not that I can say it's going to change anybody.
No, right.
I mean, all you can do is lead them in the right path, but they got to do it.
Right.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, first of all, you just got to, if you get put in the place and God's going to use you, you know, it's
in
you just
case,
mentioned
sure.
a few little things that they've never heard that all of a sudden can bring light, you know, and that's all you can do.
Yeah.
Do we want to, call it, or?
Yeah, Joe is coming.
He's coming, right?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. We're going to end it.
Maybe we did already, we don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe recorded over what we started earlier.
Yeah, who knows?
Scorpio figured out.
Pause.